All right. Extend greetings to each and every one. It's a blessing to be here with you again this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Just ask your blessing, Father, on this time together. I ask that you'd fill us with your Spirit. That you'd give us wisdom, Father. Help us, Lord, to be faithful to you. Bring glory to you. Lord, again, we just thank you for all that you do for us. Lord, we ask again that you'd help us hear your words and apply them. Lord, be with Nancy, Father, them all. God bless them, help them. Again, we just pray for Cheryl, Father, as well. Again, we just thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's open our Bible to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. I'm just going to begin in verse 1. Kind of read through here and just some instructions this morning. Titus chapter 2 verse 1, it says, "But as for you, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine." He's talking to us. Speak the things that are fitting for sound doctrine. You know, one of the things that's pretty confusing today when we talk about doctrine, you know, some people think of theology or something, you know, or an ideal of what we believe or something something along the lines of theology. But whenever the Bible talks about doctrine, whenever the apostles spoke of doctrine, they were talking about how we lived. You know, that goes right in the face of today whenever, you know, most churches, if you don't have the sound doctrine, that is the pedigree of what we believe or the list of things we believe or how we believe a certain thing, then that's what their faith is, their creed. You know, there's a lot of churches that even teach today that if you try to live right, they call that works. And so that's just completely eliminated. And I think that's one of the things that has been so detrimental to this country. You know, it's sad that, you know, the blood that gives us life when we die, that is the thing that begins to break down the body so it will deteriorate. It's the very thing that gives it life is what causes it to deteriorate. And you know, that's if we look at the history, and just in the history of this country, you know, that while it wasn't just founded strictly on New Testament principles, it was founded on godly principles. And they were... that's what they promoted. And it was because it was promoted a way of life where people could get along with one another. And as the years progress and now doctrine and theology comes into play, and now the churches themselves, instead of teaching this morality and this godliness and this goodness, they say, oh, you don't need all of that. It's just all grace. It just covers you. And so grace has went from something that is inspiring and powerful and giving us the ability to live above the world, and now it becomes this cheap, worthless thing that just everybody has it, and if you try to do any good, you're just frustrating the grace of God, is what's taught. And it's just how things have... the very thing that gives power is now what is destroying the church today in this world. And by in turn, it's destroying nations that once at least gave God glory, and he at least gave God the rightful place to expect us to be good. And it's just, and I think that's one of the things that as we look at the deterioration of the world around us, it can be laid mostly at the church's feet. You can't have a good nation without a godly nation. You can't have free people unless they have the moral fiber and the moral character to carry that out. And that's what this one verse is. It just says, speak the things which are fitting of sound doctrine. If your theology produces knowledge, argument, disagreement, that's not sound doctrine. If your theology doesn't produce good people, as far as the Bible's concerned, it's worthless. So speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine. And I want to just emphasize what those words mean. Sound doctrine. A sound way of living. And it goes right on in verse 2. It says, older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, in love, and perseverance. Gives instructions here. Sound doctrine again. And it's not going into the deep theologies of God here. Or the deep theologies of grace or merit or total depravity or any of those things. It starts out, older men, you'd be temperate. What is temperate? It means to just be level. You're not on a mountain one minute and way down in the dumps the next minute. And that's in everything. I mean, temperance movement was a ban on any kind of alcohol. Well, temperance is not necessarily a ban on it, but it's being able to not let it control you. The problem is in a lot of times people can't handle it, and so they just decided they was going to stop it. It's more of a ban than temperance, just for examples of what I'm talking about. But temperance is being able to, okay, whenever something comes at you, instead of just flying off the handle, you're able just to take it moderately. There's just not these wide waves of emotion going back and forth. Dignified, respectable, maybe, sensible. You know, that's one thing that this is one of the things of a sound faith is an older man being sensible. You know, we've seen men that, sometimes even old men, that they just don't have much sense. And that goes against good doctrine, sound doctrine. Sound doctrine has the older men that are sensible and they're sound in the faith. They're solid. They're not tossed to and fro with every wind. They don't just, you know, go with the tide. They're sound in the faith. They're solid. They're like a rock. I don't know I appreciated this so much, but 30 years ago there was an old man in the church, and he just, one of the things he said is, you're a rock. And I mean, that has just stuck with me. And I appreciate that. And that's what we ought to be. We don't need to be you know, the new thing comes along, the new fad comes along, and I'm the first one jumping on the bandwagon and following after it. We got all kinds of diets. We got all kinds of different things. We just be solid. The newest thing comes along, the gadget, you know, you don't have to, just be solid. A lot of those things, if they're good, they'll pan out and work, and if they're not, they won't anyway. But just being solid is part of one of the things that Paul said, build sound doctrine. Sound in faith. You know, we learn to trust God the older we get. Because we've seen that over and over, well, he was faithful again, wasn't he? Things looked black. Instead of just getting all frustrated and giving up, we just realized that the sun will shine again one of these days. Sound in faith, in love. You know, love is just, is the things that you choose to do for people. We don't, you know, there's a lot of talk about falling in love. And most of that falling in love, we've said it before, is I love the way that person makes me feel. Well, who do you love? If you love the way someone makes me feel, all we really do is love ourselves. And they just make that better for me. But that's not what love is. You know, that's the idea of the world. Well, I fell out of love. He just doesn't make me feel the way he used to. Well, that's ridiculous self-pity. That's not love at all. Love is a dedication to when someone falls out of love with you, you still love them anyway. You're going to do what's best for them. You know, with the children, sometimes we think we love them because we're just trying to give them everything they need. Just make sure everything's just right for them. But love sometimes has to step back and say, well, when they fall down, you got to just watch them instead of go running, chasing after them before they even hit the ground. You got to let them fall. And then be ready to say, get back up before they even have time to worry about whether they're going to cry or not. Because a lot of times they'll turn around and look at you and decide they're going to cry whether you determine that or not. If you're shocked, well, hey, I better get shocked. I've seen it over and over again. Love. Strong enough to let them fall down. And you observe the situation and they'll be all right. And if they need further help, well, maybe we might. But you know, we didn't always just run to the doctor 3 times a week. Used to didn't hardly have a doctor. You know, it's just being sensible, sound in faith and love and perseverance. Just being solid. Just pressing on. You know, we don't grow much without opposition. And it's being able to go through the hard things in life that make us strong. And going through those things is what keeps us going through those things. It'll help us go through the good times even. And that's where more people fall than in the bad times. You got to have that perseverance to keep on going. You know, there's several times in my life that I've just all around me, everything falling apart. All around me, my family falling apart. Everything falling apart, and you just wonder, what's the use of going on? But we're not doing this because of us, or what it's going to produce for us, or how it's going to help us. We're doing this because God is worthy to be served. We're pressing on, persevering, because He is worthy. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in their behavior. Not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what's good. You know, we've talked about problems in churches before, and a lot of times, problems in churches, you know, we've talked about it being strong people who are offended at somebody that's weak. But I think, and that goes along with, you know, I could probably, in the situations that I've seen in churches, 90% of it goes back to the women, the problems. They inspire their men, maybe even maliciously gossip to their own men and get them stirred up to make decisions and make choices. You can almost always trace it back to something like that. But here, sound doctrine teaches the older women not to be doing that. It's amazing how much power a woman has over a man. I've seen big, strong men, or people who think they're strong, big, powerful men, and their wife just pushes them one way or another. Because they have that strength and that power, that ability. And that's what we've talked about submission. Submission doesn't come from the top down, it comes from the bottom up. Women, you have power. But you're supposed to control that power and submit it and give it and support your husband that way. This is the older women, even. Younger women can learn this. You have the ability. You can do it. It's not about equality. It's about God has created an order of things, and we do it His order, or we're out of order. Like I said, it's not about ability. There's women that can do a lot of things better than men. But that's not God's way. Doesn't mean they're less at all. In fact, the one who submits or sometimes gives up is the stronger. The one that's forcing their way through is not necessarily the strong one. That's the bulldozer that can't be challenged. But the one who is able to let somebody just go on and be where we're supposed to be, is that's where it takes strength. That's where that perseverance comes from. It's not getting your way all the time. It's not pushing it through all the time. It's yielding to strength. And teaching what is good. You have a responsibility. I've gotten trouble years ago whenever I was with some of the other churches, the worldly churches. And, you'd preach about the little girls wearing shorts or mini skirts or something, just dressing terrible. And you try to talk about it and address it. And reading the book, the Bible, I realized one day that, what happened was we were at a deal and the girls were dressing terribly. And I said something about it, or somebody did. And the oldest woman in the church, J just stood up and said, "Now what's wrong with a little girl wearing a miniskirt?" That's whenever I realized it's not the preacher's job to teach young ladies modesty. It's the mothers. It's the older women that need to keep things in check. We don't have to go after all the newest things to, I mean, that way to the world is, it's a well-worn path. And it always starts with innovation and new things that are, you know, and I'm not against looking nice at all. It's not what I'm saying. But boy, the little changes, and they start coming, and the sad thing is they start usually with the older women that are promoting those things. Just be strong. We don't need all that new fluff. All those things. Like I said, the verse came to my mind when that lady said that. I said, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And this is a foundation. If the older women don't maintain these things and just keep it up, what will the younger children do? What will the younger people do? They'll just follow right on and just get a license to do that. Teaching what is good. You know, what this world needs is a bunch of good old grandmas that know what's good. Now the grandmas are so busy rocking it around the world or whatever. We need grandmas that teach what's good. Look at the nation, where it's gone. It's not because we're not gone because we got a bunch of good grandmas. It'd be exactly opposite of that. So that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands and to love their children. See there, that word is love again. It is not saying, older women, you make sure they keep that spark there of that love. Make sure you see, that's not what they're saying. It says to teach the young women to love their husbands. Not that modern television love, but the love that stands by them even when you maybe don't like them sometimes. That's the kind of love that stays, that lasts, that's there, that isn't tossed about because a couple little things didn't go right. Teach them to love their husbands. Teach them to respect and honor them. Don't be the older woman that's teaching them discontentment and all of those things. You get the idea of what, and this is sound doctrine. These are fundamental things. God created a man, and from that man he brought forth from that man a woman to have a family. This world hates the family. It can destroy a nation because there's no families. Because we've got it all out of order with unsound doctrine. You think it gets pretty boring. It gets mundane having to do all. You have all the power in your hands that will bring down a nation or exalt it. Women. That's a responsibility that you have. They may encourage the young women to love their husbands and to love their children. And here again, love your children. You know, whenever, you know, I know there's, if it's about loving your children, listen to your older people. Whenever they say, oh, don't worry about it, they'll be all right, just go through it, or whatever. Have some advice that's towards loving their children instead of just how it makes them feel. You know, our children aren't little Barbie dolls that we just decorate so we can hold up and everybody say they're cute. That's not what Grandma needs to be doing. Grandma needs to be teaching the younger women to love their children, to see past their little hurts and things that don't amount to anything, and instill some strength in them. There again, we see that's out the window of the world. And we see exactly what it comes from. You know, it goes right down to this. If a man is a man and knows his place, and a woman is a woman and knows their place, their children will know that they're boys and they're girls. And you start getting everything confused, and the children get confused. And then you get bad people that feed that confusion in the education system. But the foundation of it is when the man is what he's supposed to be and the woman is what she's supposed to be, you've got a good, solid opportunity that the children will know what they're supposed to be. And it goes on, them to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husband, so that the word of God is not dishonored. Is this just a male chauvinist thing, or is this just... No. We all hold the Bible in esteem. We all hold God's word in esteem. This is sound doctrine. And if we don't do those things, and if we don't have that sound doctrine, we're not just dishonoring ourselves. We're not just dishonoring our husbands. We're dishonoring God's word. To be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. You want to honor God's word? Right here, it's telling us how to do that. Likewise, urge the young men to be sensible. Boy, we try that, don't we? Doesn't mean they always listen. But we just try to tell them, have a little sense. Urge the young men to be sensible. You know, it's foolishness is right there. And like I said, even with the children, we're not training our children to be kids. We're training them to be adults. They know how to play. They know how to have a good time. That all comes pretty natural. We're trying to teach them to be sensible. We're trying to teach them how to be adults. not just 90-year-old grandpas living like they're teenagers. We want to bring them past that. And that's where the sensible, that's what your job is, to teach them to be that. Young men, to be sensible. In all things, show yourself to be an example of good deeds with purity in doctrine, purity in the way you live, and dignified. Sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, so that the opponent will be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us. You know, people look at the young people. That's who the world sees. They don't see the old people. They see the young people. And you know, whenever they have something bad to say about us, a lot of times, it's because they're young people. You have a responsibility. You're representatives of the church. Think about that when you're out just hooting around. There's people watching you. And you're an example. I mean, the salt of the earth, the light of the world, it's a big responsibility. And if they just see you as a bunch of clowns, what hope do they have? And non-urge bond slaves to be subject to their own masters in everything, to be well-pleasing and not argumentative. Even slaves, be subject to your own masters. Like I said, it's not the one with the whip that is the strongest all the time. Sometimes, and that's figuratively, the one with the power. It takes a strong person just to be able to do what they're doing and have a good attitude about it. And they go right through it. You know, I appreciate this, you know, just the respect for someone above you that this is promoting. And when I say above you, I don't mean, oh, we're better. But I mean, if there's different places. And the foot washing thing, Jesus, he was above everyone. Yet he humbled himself and did the lowest things. But there's a respect there. And if we don't know how to respect elders, if we don't know how to, and I mean respect them, not just say, you know, we can train ourselves, say yes sir and yes ma'am, and then just ignore everything they say. To respect them is to let what they say have some meaning to it and some words. You know, we think, you know, because they're polite that they're respectful, but it goes much deeper than that. Urge bond servants to be subject to their own masters in everything, to be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering, not showing all good faith, but showing all good faith so that they will adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in every respect. There it is again, the doctrine of God, that you'd adorn the doctrine of God, that you would put it on and make it shine. That's doctrine. The way you live. Then it says, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. How does the grace of God appear to all men? verse 12 says, the grace of God instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in this present age. What is the grace of God doing in the world? It's trying to teach us all these things. Well, what about salvation? What about, if we don't understand these basic things, you can throw salvation out the window. Because God's grace is trying to teach us how to fit into heaven and belong there. God's grace is instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in this present age. That's what God's Spirit's doing. Whatever your lot in life, some are blessed with everything going right, some are blessed with everything going wrong. We can still be this. Maybe your health isn't very good. You can still do this. Maybe your health is perfect. You can still do this. Maybe you've got 14 children. Maybe you don't have any. You can still do this. You can still put on and reflect the grace of God to this world. Looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous of good deeds. Isn't that so opposite of what's being taught today as doctrine? And yet, the Bible says that it's God's own grace, God's own Spirit that's trying to teach us that. And he gave us an example, him who gave himself for us to redeem us from all these lawless deeds and to purify for himself a people of his own possession, a jewel. He's trying to make us jewels for him. Zealous for good deeds. These things speak and exhort and reprove with all authority, and let no man disregard you. In other words, speaking these things, don't be ashamed to speak these very things and to live these very things, no matter what the world says or does. May the Lord have his blessing. You don't have anything you'd like to share?
I remember the very first time we came to God, the church here, growing up missionary Baptist, lifestyle that I've graced ever since, and go on, have a nice week, and see you next Sunday. And hearing your message when we were talking about Titus chapter 2, and it's like scales fell from my eyes, and it was a beautiful thing to see, but it was difficult to trust it and understanding, to realize that it's teaching me, it's not just there to cover me. Let me keep on going on and doing what I want. And I appreciate it.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah, that's perseverance. Don't get discouraged. It's teaching you. Go on. Well, God bless y'all. We'll meet back here at 6 o'clock, Lord willing. Part in peace. God be with you till we meet again.